This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey everybody, I'm Dre Redfern.
And this is Alexis Neely.
And welcome to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, where in this episode, we are going to recap all of the awesome things that have worked well in a variety of industries on the marketing front for 2018, and also how you can go back from, now that we're in 2019, back to 2018, break apart what works, really analyze to see where you succeeded, where you had a lot of great success, what marketing worked, what systems worked, and what didn't, so we can really tee up some awesome and really amazing things for you in 2019.
Absolutely. And, you know, being able to mine what's worked for you over the prior year and what hasn't worked for you is also really important. So one of the things that I want you to do right after this episode is sit down and take a look at what did work for you in your practice last year. What was, if you could pick out one thing that you would want to capitalize upon and amplify going into this next year, what would it be? And what are the things that you are absolutely going to just let go of and stop doing anymore going into 2019? And I do think that for so many of you, it comes down to marketing. It does come down to marketing. Now, I do want to say something about that, because a lot of times when we talk about marketing, I see that lawyers skip over a really important step, and that is making sure that they have a process for engaging the clients, engaging the people that get interested in their services as a result of their marketing. And so a lot of times, Dre, we hear lawyers who say, well, my marketing isn't working. I've invested in this thing. I've tried this thing. I've tried this thing. My marketing isn't working. But when we do an analysis of what's actually not working, oftentimes what's not working is their engagement strategy, their enrollment strategy. Maybe they are actually getting a lot of calls and emails, but then those people are not converting into paying clients, or they're not converting into paying clients at high enough fees to make their practice make sense. So one of the things that I absolutely, without question, want you to do in 2019, yes, take the marketing strategies that we're going to be sharing with you, but I want you to start tracking your results so that you know exactly what is working and what isn't working. So when you do this analysis next year at this time, you've got some information to actually look at. So going forward, here's what you're going to be tracking every single month. How many inquiries are you getting each month? How many inquiries are you getting each month? Whether that's phone calls into your office, whether that is emails into your office, people inquiring into working with you. How many of those inquiries are turning into booked appointments, booked initial appointments on your calendar, whether that's by phone or meeting in person? How many are turning into booked initial appointments? How many of those booked initial appointments are being kept? So you can find out, do I have a problem where people are calling me, they're booking appointments, but then they're not showing up, right? We need to know that. How many of those booked appointments are kept? How many of those booked appointments that are kept turn into paying clients? How many of those booked appointments that are kept turn into paying clients? And at what average fee? You need to be tracking those five metrics every single month for the rest of this year. And if you do that, you're going to be able to do this analysis next year a lot more effectively than you can probably do it right now. So you can know, do I actually have a marketing problem? Or do I have a problem with getting people to keep their appointments? Or do I have an engagement problem where people are coming in for this free initial consultation that I'm offering that doesn't actually convert them into paying clients? Or do I have a problem with my average fee? It's not actually high enough for me to deliver a truly valuable service. So track those five metrics every single month on an ongoing basis. And then if you discover okay, I actually do have a marketing problem. I'm not getting enough calls and inquiries to be able to hit my numbers, to be able to meet my personal, financial, and time goals, then you can solve the marketing problem with what we're talking about here. So Dre, what did you see worked in 2018 from a marketing perspective?
Yeah, so there's so many things that worked well this year, and some of which we've actually covered in past podcasts. And so, for example, one of the things that's worked really well this year is humanization automation. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, and really creating more of those memorable moments that create that H2H, human to human sort of moment, instead of B2B, business to business, or B2C, business to consumer, and really treating individuals like that. And one of the things that we talked about is, you know, handwritten notes and being able to automate some of this. And so, you know, one of the resources that you can use, you can go get a free sample from this company. I don't have any equity or any stake in this company. You can go to thesignatureprinter.com. Mm-hmm. And you can get a free, basically, pack of all of the tools and ways that you can use this technology in your business. It's super great. We got ours just the same way. And then we've bought a few of those printers ourselves. Love that technology.
I love that.
The next one is books, and we also talked about books. Now, in the last few weeks, having recorded that episode, we're in the process of doing some research for this report that I'll mention in a moment, but it was really interesting that most traditionally published books never make more than $1,000. And it makes sense. I mean, most books are about $15 a piece, give or take. They'll never make more than $1,000. The average traditional book deal these days is $10,000. Now you see some seven-figure book deals and guys like Stephen King or whoever else, or if you're multiple-time New York Times best-selling authors, will get those seven-figure deals. Most unknown writers for the first time around, $10,000. However, we have a handful of clients and in ourselves, in our own business as well, that will do multiple six figures from writing books this year simply because you're using that book as that lead gen tool and that piece of credibility. So if you haven't gone back and listened to that book episode yet, definitely make sure you do that.
I'll just say something about that, because this is one of the reasons that the lawyers in our personal family lawyer program are using the book Wear Clean Underwear. This is a book that I wrote. It's the best-selling book on legal planning for families. They're using that book to promote their own legal services. So as you're writing a book, consider what are you going to build into that book so that when people read this book, they want to hire you. They want to hire you. They read the book and they're like, oh my God, I need to work with this lawyer when I need this thing that is the legal service you provide. So just remember that when you're writing your book, it's not just about educating. It's actually also about inspiring people into action to work with you. And you are embedding in the book, and this is a really important thing, that you're embedding in the book ways that bring people from the book into your online automation systems. And then you have those online automation systems set up so that once somebody comes into your online automation network, we'll call it your online automation system, they're then getting communicated with in a human way through the automation so that they really feel as if they are beginning to build a relationship with you so that you stay top of mind so that when they're ready to hire somebody for the legal services you provide, of course they're going to hire you because you've been building relationship with them all this time. The alternative, what it could look like is you have a book, you educate people about why they need the legal services that you provide, but guess what? Then they go out and hire the guy down the street. You've just educated them so that they can hire your competition. So you want to make sure that your book leads into your online automation system and that the automation system is set up for this human connection where you're able to build a relationship with a lot of people who are going to either hire you or refer you because you stay top of mind.
Yep. And that's so, so important. So any of these strategies, whether it's books, it's humanization automation, or the next one here, direct mail, you always want to make sure you have those follow-up sequences. And one of the things we talked about in the direct mail episode, because we also covered this a few episodes back, is the fact that you can really captivate someone's attention significantly greater than you can in the online world. And in 2018 was an absolute shakeup in the online advertising world. If you still hear people saying that you've got to be advertising on Facebook because it's the end all be all, they clearly don't know what they're talking about, because Facebook prices have gone up more than 100% this year, or at least in 2018 alone. They're shutting down accounts left and right. We have a handful of client accounts who were shut down for really not doing anything. And it's just, it's a really big change. And so the online advertising industry is really in a really interesting, you know, state of flux right now with Google and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and everything else. Yes. And we're seeing a lot of our clients and attorneys go back to the traditional old school, quote unquote, old school way of marketing with direct mail. And it has worked absolutely phenomenally. So in our business alone, in 2018, we sent out more than 1.2 million pieces of direct mail, and that would equate to millions and millions of dollars in top line revenue coming back from those campaigns. It absolutely still works, and it is a game changer if you can properly implement it. So that's another thing we covered a few weeks ago. So I would check that out as well. And then I'll just say
something about that piece, because that is the number one thing that we saw work the best for our member lawyers in 2018. It is using the direct mail pieces that we provided for them. And I do want to say that ineffective direct mail is a waste of your money. Ineffective direct mail. And so
ineffective advertising.
Yes. Yeah. And so if you are running a direct mail campaign and it is not working, don't give up on it. Just really find what works. Because once you get something that works, and I'll just, you know, share the strategy that we saw that really worked for them. Again, when they modeled our direct mail piece that we licensed to them exactly, what I saw is that when they changed it up, it didn't work. And, you know, a lot of lawyers, they'll come into our program and they're like, oh, this is great. I'm going to make it better. Great. Make it better after you get what we give you working. Then you can add your creative twist, but you've got your baseline of what's working. So what worked is we do an oversized postcard that drives people to a presentation, an in-person presentation. And then that in-person presentation is specifically designed to educate and empower the people who are in the room to make an appointment with these lawyers for a family wealth planning session. And because these lawyers know how to do the presentation so that they don't just hear, oh, that was so great, thank you so much for telling me I need to get this done. Instead, it drives to that appointment. That family wealth planning session is on the books. So what we see is the lawyers, they send out this direct mail campaign. It might cost them between $3,000 to $5,000 to send out the direct mail campaign to the right number of houses. They send it out twice, actually, to the same houses. So they send out that direct mail campaign. They get the folks for the presentation. The people come in for the presentation. There's generally two presentations back to back. Those presentations lead to anywhere between 12 to 15 new appointments on their calendar. And then the lawyers know that they are going to engage 90% of the people who come in and meet with them, if not more. Many of them have a 100% engagement rate at an average rate of $3,000 to $4,000. So the good news is that one new client from that entire campaign is going to pay for the whole campaign. So there's very little risk, although honestly, the lawyers feel risk, right? Everybody, we always feel scared when we're going to make a $3,000 to $5,000 investment in something. That's just normal. I still feel scared when I'm making a $3,000 to $5,000 investment in something, but I do it anyway because I know the ROI that it's going to provide. I know that I've got the systems in place to do that. So one new client's going to pay for it, but in the case of our lawyers, because they've got it all set up, they've got the automation, they've got the presentation, they know that that family wealth planning session is going to turn into a paying client. They're engaging 12 to 15 new clients from that each time they run that campaign. So let's just say it's on the small end, 12. Let's say it's on the low end of the fees, 3,000. So these are really conservative numbers. Now we're looking at a $36,000 return on that $3,000 to $5,000 investment. When you do it exactly with what we give you, you don't try and reinvent the wheel, you don't try and make it up on your own, or you don't try to make it better, you just do it the way that we teach you. We're seeing a multiple, well, I can't do math that well, but whatever that is, $3,000 to $5,000 investment and a minimum, right? A minimum $36,000 coming from that. Wouldn't you do that all day, every day? Most of our lawyers who are doing it are running that campaign every 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how many new clients they want to be seeing each month.
I love it. Yeah. Direct mail is not dead. It is so alive and well. And if you can really do it and excel in those arenas, you can have a lot of success. The last topic I'd like to touch on that we've seen a lot of really cool things with in 2018 was review and reputation management. I am actually a relatively credible person to talk to about this simply because my wife had won one of the largest defamation cases in the last 5 years. My wife was a world-renowned photographer and had two of her previous clients go to the news, make up some lies, and really destroy her business on social media, literally overnight. And this, the following 3 years were engaged in, you know, slap proceedings, if you know the defamation world, and then a week-long jury trial. And the subsequently, we were basically had received over 400 million impressions on this story. And we'll develop or devote a podcast episode more to this topic and what you can do to protect yourself and defend yourself in the event of these things happening. Yeah. But the long and short of it is that in 2018, not just for, you know, obviously the things that we had gone through since 2015, but also seeing so many people out there who were turning to my wife and I as authorities in this subject matter to really understand and really get a deep dive knowledge and understanding of reviews and reputation management. And when we were diving into it, we were going through the process and really trying to figure out how we could best help people with it. There's some stats that absolutely blew me away. And that is 95% of all prospects and like potential buyers read reviews before making a decision on whether to purchase a product or a service. 95%. 85% of consumers trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations. Mm-hmm. And 70% of consumers believe that if a review is older than 90 days, it's practically irrelevant. Like that right there shows the Amazon culture that has been really, you know, distilled down into even professional services, where if you're going to go buy something on Amazon, like we all do, you're checking those reviews first. Well, if someone is going to go consider hiring an attorney or a financial advisor or an insurance agent or a mechanic or anything else under the sun, that they're checking reviews on that business first. And we all do it before we make purchasing decisions. However, how active are you in actually staying on top of these things for your firm, for your business? And what does that mean? Like, what is the potential loss of customers that are slipping through your funnel simply because John Smith down the road or Susie Q down the road had a few reviews on there and you didn't have any, or the ones that you had were not amazing? So really, really something to consider. And the people that we've helped out with this in 2018 seen massive growth in their business and the actual conversion from initial prospects to clients simply because they had more credibility and authority publicly on Google, on Bing, on these search engines that their competitors didn't have. And if someone doesn't know anything about law and they're just Googling estate planning attorney or bankruptcy attorney or personal injury attorney in Tuscaloosa, Alabama or Oklahoma City, Oklahoma or in San Francisco, California, if they're looking at all attorneys as equal, yet someone has those five stars, those five orange stars on Google next to their name and their competitor doesn't, that individual with the stars is going to get a much higher click-through rate to their website, to their offer, so you can at least then have your marketing systems and automation, a lot of the stuff we've talked about, then carry the weight to help convert that prospect to a customer. It's been an absolute game changer. And with stats like 95% of people using these tools before they make a decision, it's something you really should consider implementing in 2019. And we'll have some resources here that we can probably share with you. I'll put those in the show notes. But one thing that I love to do every year is I put out a full report. It's the 2018 marketing review. It's everything that worked well in the previous year and everything that didn't work well that you don't want to do. And if you go to 2018marketingreview.com, you'll be able to access that report there to really take these four things we talked about and a whole bunch of other stuff that you may be able to use in your practice in 2019 to really, you know, ramp up your marketing and ramp up the success that you're feeling there.
I love that. Thank you so much for putting that together. And next week, or in our next podcast episode, we are going to be looking at this reputation management piece and how you can really use reviews and reputation management. We're going to talk more about the defamation story. And I'm going to get vulnerable and talk about my own reputation management as well. So definitely join us for the Ultimate Attorney Podcast next time, where you're going to be able to learn how to really use reviews and reputation management to grow your law firm in 2019. And you're going to hear about Dre's wife's situation, more about that. And you'll hear about my situation as well. We really look forward to sharing that with you. And in the meantime, make sure to go to get that 2018 marketing review. What's the URL on that again, Dre?
2018marketingreview.com.
Awesome. We'll see you all on the next podcast.
Hey there, Dre Redford here, and I have one last thing for you. If you haven't already done so, please go to ultimateattorneypodcast.com to access all of the resources and free downloads that we've discussed in this episode and all of the other amazing episodes on the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. While you're there, be sure to look on the right-hand side of the page to enroll to receive some of our free premium content simply by entering your name and email address. Now, when you do that, you'll be the first to know when we release a new episode. You'll get all sorts of expanded resources and additional content that is only available exclusively to the listeners of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. And while you're at it, as we said earlier, please be sure to share this episode with your friends, your family, and other attorneys who may benefit from this episode. Because whoever shares these episodes and the Ultimate Attorney Podcast the most this month will win a product from either Ali or myself that's valued between $1,000 and $3,000. So what are you waiting for? Go share the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.